All right, brethren, Psalm 119 in the Word of God. My heart is saddened somewhat this morning because this will complete our series through Psalm 119, but doesn't mean that it's over. Amen. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. God has given us the privilege of having a copy of the Word of God for us to continually be reminded and to study the truths of His Word. If I would do it with an open mind and go back and pray and seek the heart of God in it, ain't a doubt in my mind I could go back through Psalm 119 and make lessons up again on every one of these 22 sections that would be, for the most part, totally different than what I've given you. And it's rich and very full of some good blessings and help for our life. And I trust you've gotten something out of it. I feel like I have. And I've asked the Lord time and time again to help me to practice what I've been taught and studied through this chapter. And I feel like He's helping me. There's been many times that I could have lost my temper and went off on a rampage. But the Lord has saw fit to bring things back to mind to remind me that that's not the way a Christian. Now, I repeat that, a Christian. Not necessarily mean you're lost if you lose your temper. But someone who is Christ-like should not allow their temper to take control of them. Don't mean you won't have one. I believe the Lord had a temper when He went into the house of God and saw them selling and making merchandise of His house in that respect, and made that scourge and turned the tables over and run them money changers out. And I believe it's right to have the right kind of temper, but not to let that temper take control of you or me. Amen. And so many times as I've studied through this psalm, I've seen where the psalmist David, his appeal was unto God, and not in his own anger of his own self to get the job done. And I trust the Lord to help me to learn that, amen, completely in my life, to always look to Him and not rely upon myself for anything. And I believe that would be a great help to all of us if we can do that. And I believe we can, because I believe the psalmist did. He learned to look to the Lord for the help of God. Well, if you'll read with me there in the last section, of course, in Psalm 119, we entitled the whole psalm, Learning a Little at a Time. I've subtitled this particular 8 verses, Let Me Be Found Faithful. And I put the term there, me, instead of us, because I want to be found faithful. You ought to have that same desire as well. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, that means above and beyond anything else, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And, you know, we all want to see results. We all want to be prosperous. It'd be a lie if somebody told you that was pastoring a church that they didn't want to have a full house, that they didn't want to see sinners getting saved every time they preached. Amen? That'd be a lie. That ought to be the desire of all of our hearts. Amen. But the truth is, we don't see that. And because we don't see that fruit in that aspect of it, then we ought to be faithful anyway. And I believe that's why the Lord said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He'll give the increase. Amen. We're just to be faithful to preach the word and water. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 169, the Bible said, Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of that word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. You pray for us that the Lord will help us today to deliver the thoughts he's laid upon our heart. Father, we do bow before you, Lord, again, thanking you for your love, your truth, and your mercy, and your goodness you showed to us to allow us to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, not, Lord, being degrading to anyone else, but I thank you that you put a love in my heart and the ability in my body to be able to be here this morning. I realize this morning that I'm here by the grace of God. I realize I could be in the bed of affliction. I realize, Lord, that I could be lost and undone without you. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us today, Lord, to look to Christ. And, Lord, to be, let you be that work in my life, Lord, as I ought to have you in my life. And I pray that others would do the same. And, Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do. Do touch in the Word of God today. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us have clear speech and a clear thought that we might be able to give out, Lord, that you put in our heart. And we'll thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Again, brethren, we've been subtitled this particular section of 8 verses, Let Me Be Found Faithful. And that is my heart's desire. As I began to study, I began to look at this last week and read what Mr. Spurgeon, Mr. Butler had to say, and I began to look at some of the other writers, you know, Gill and Barnes and Clark and Henry, different ones that I have there on my computer program, but different things, you know, that just to kind of get a variety, if you please, of outlook on this particular section of Scripture. And as I began to look at it and began to meditate upon it, I began to think about how David is finishing up here in Psalm 119. And in doing so, I also began to look at how he started out and then what was detailed all through these other 20 lessons that we've been through. And I want to say it's been an enjoyment and an encouragement in my life, amen, to go through this particular chapter in God's holy word pertaining to his holy word. As I've said before, I say it again today, that this chapter deals with the word of God specifically. It shows us how important the word of God is in our life. It shows us the need of the word of God in our life, how it ought to be working in our life. It shows us those things, and I believe that we truly find in this particular chapter the evidence of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Amen. And that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I believe we can see that this is truly profitable to us. If we'll take the time and look at the first section, I'm not going to take time and go back and read it all. I will read one verse of Scripture here, and I'll probably make a little bit of a comment about it later if I don't forget. But if you look back at the very first verse, you'll find he said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." If you'll look in the last verse of the last section, and I'll make this comparison real quick, he said, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." I believe David is showing us in them first 8 verses, again, I'll not take time to read them all and deal with them all, but I believe in those first 8 verses, David is showing us what the final result or reward is for an individual that truly lives for God and seeks after God with his whole heart. I believe in this last section, we find what David has ended up, or how he's ended up, in this particular time of his life. He realizes his need to be sought of God because he has gone astray. And he wants to make sure that he's in the way that God wants him to be in. And the reason why I know that he said that is because he said, "I do not forget thy commandments." He still knew what was right, brethren. Amen. He's not apostatized. Amen. He still knows what's right. And he's still seeking after God, But the fact is, because of like a lost sheep, they're not going to find their way back home. Amen. God had to go out and get him. And get him back to where he needed to be. And I'm afraid sometimes that's the way I feel in my life. I feel like I know what the commandments are. I feel like I have not forgotten what I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing and how I should be living for God. But yet in the same aspect, I don't know how to get back there. And it takes God to bring us back to that point. Amen. That we can be what we ought to be for the cause of Christ. In the middle of these verses, from verse number 9 down to verse number 168, I believe we see the responsibility that we have as a child of God to live for the Lord. And he shows us in all of those verses how we ought to cling to the Word, how we ought to hide it in our heart, how the Word is truth, just, everything, circumstances that come our way, things that crop up, I mean, tribulation that comes, afflictions that come, physical sickness, the enemy, persecution. He deals with every bit of that all through this chapter and showing us how to take care of it in our life and how to face it and continue to be right with the Lord. So I do believe that he shows us in this chapter the result in the beginning. You know, have you ever used that? Let me use this as an illustration for that. You ever told your children, this will be the outcome if you do this and this and this? I mean, you give them what the end result of something was before you ever actually told them how to do it, maybe. You know, we knew the end result was going to be a nice building out there to be used for the glory of God in the ministry. But I didn't know how to do it. It took these other carpenters to come in here and began to work on this thing and frame it up and finish it out in order for me to actually see the result of it. Amen. I can't see the finished product. Even though they told me it was going to be wonderful and they told me it was going to be nice, I couldn't perceive that. I couldn't understand that because I didn't know all that was involved to get it to that point. Amen. And then you began to go through it. You began to learn, anyway, is the point, the remedy. He shows us the remedy in these last 8 verses of how to have what he said to start out with in the first verse. How to be happy. How to be blessed. How to walk, if you please, undefiled in the way. He said, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Now, quickly, let me go through these. I got a lot of things to cover here this morning. I want to say, first of all, in these particular verses, I find David's request, or the psalmist's request, and what our request ought to be, how our request ought to be, if I can put it that way. And I'm not going to take time to read them all individually first. I'll deal with them as I deal with the thoughts. But in verses 169, 170, 173, 175, and 176, you're going to find these characteristics of his prayer, his request unto the Lord. I see, first of all, the attitude of his request. You know, many people mistake the word of God in Hebrews chapter number 4. And verse number 12 or 16, when it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. Now, God has given us the privilege to approach that mercy seat. Amen. That we might find grace to help in time of need. But he's not saying that you can come in there cocky. He's not saying you can come in there of your own accord. He's not saying that you're going to get in there. Amen. Because of your good deeds, your good works. But he did say that you have that privilege to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. You know, I have yet to see somebody wanting mercy but being proudful in their want of mercy. Somebody that truly needs mercy is not going to come for mercy with a proud tone. Amen. I'm talking about truly wanting mercy, truly wanting forgiveness, truly wanting something that really doesn't belong to them. They want the good for the evil that they have done, if I can put it that way. I see the attitude of his request, that it was humble and dependent. Notice, if you would please, in verse number 169, he said, let my cry. He didn't say, Lord, you're going to hear me or else. But he said, let my cry come before thee. Come near before thee. Let it please. In other words, that is a request. That is a desire, a humble attitude, if you please, and a dependent attitude. He didn't say, I can make sure that it gets there. He didn't say, you're going to listen to me or else. He said, let my cry come before thee, or come near before thee. And then he said, give me, and, oh Lord, he recognizes who he's dealing with, of course. He said, give me understanding. Give me. I mean, Lord, I need to understand some things. Lord, I don't want to be without the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God and without spiritual reasoning in my life. His attitude was humble and dependent. Notice in verse number 70, again, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. In verse 173, let thine hand help me. Let. It gives the thought of please. It gives the thought that I don't deserve it, but would you please help me? Let your hand come and help me. Somebody says, can I borrow you for a minute to help me do something? Or can your son come and help me do something? Or can so-and-so do this for me? That is a question, an in question. In other words, will you please allow this to happen? And the psalmist here cries out, let my cry come before thee. Let my supplication be heard. He said, let thine hand help me. You ever find yourself in a place that you need help? And you ask the Lord, Lord, let your hand help me. Lord, let you get me out of this mess I'm in. Amen. Please do what needs to be done to help me. He's dependent upon the Lord. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. In verse 175, let my soul live. He's seen that death is in the power of the Lord as well as life. He's seen that God could kill him, if you please, deader than a hammer right then, or he could let him live. And David wasn't crying for himself. He said, Lord, let my soul live that I may praise thee. You know, look what he said. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. In other words, his desire for living was to bring praise unto God. Is that our desire? I see a great attitude of humility and dependence upon the Lord in his time of prayer. And let me back up and say this quickly before it escapes my mind again. It came back to my mind. I think it's important. If you remember, I made the statement about the previous eight verses of how there was not a request or a plea for something in David's life in them previous eight verses. But he's making up for it in this one, and I'll get to that in a minute. But there's eight times, and they're not in every verse. There's some multiples in a couple verses. But eight times in these particular verses, he puts out a plea to God for the help of God. Amen. He's humble. He's dependent. He said, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Lord, your discernment, your decision for my life, let it come that it may help me. It will help me. Amen. And verse 176, he said, seek thy servant. Are we wanting the Lord to find us, or are we trying to hide? When he came to the garden, he said, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. He said, Adam, where art thou? He wanted Adam to see where Adam was. He wanted Adam to see his separation. He wanted Adam to see his sin. And the same way with us. Instead of running and hiding, we ought to say, Lord, seek thy servant. Help me to be right. Help me to get right. Help me to walk right. I have not forgotten thy commandments. Amen. We see the humility and the dependence of his prayer, his request, in his attitude. I want to say, secondly, we see his ardency. That is, his fervency, his passion that is expressed. Notice here, in his expression of passion, let me cry. Let my cry. I mean, he wasn't silent, brethren. He was in desperation. He called upon the Lord in ardency. In other words, with a form of expression. It wasn't being hid. Amen. I know there's times you pray in silence. I can give you example after example. But he is in a place in his life. He sees the need of the Lord in his life. And he desires that to have that presence of the Lord in his life. And it didn't matter if anybody heard him. It didn't matter if anybody cared. He said, let my cry. I couldn't help but think of Daniel. He didn't change. He went to his window as he had aforetime and prayed three times a day. His window's already being opened. He didn't change. He remained faithful. Amen. He was a faithful servant. I want to say, not only in was this ardency of expression of passion in let my cry, but he said, let my supplication. The thought of that time of communion, the thought of his inwardmost feeling, not just the outward expression of his lips, but the expressions of the heart, the needs of the heart, the issues of the heart. Amen. I mean, things that you can't share with other people. Say amen right there. Because not everybody's going to understand it. Maybe not anybody's going to understand it. But there's one that will understand it, and there's one that will help, and there's one that won't gossip. Amen. And his name is the Lord God of heaven. Amen. And you can go to him and you can let your supplication come before him. Amen. And plead with him earnestly from your heart. And he'll help you. Amen. And he'll deliver you according to his word. And then I see you in verse number 173. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. That expression of passion here, he said, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. There was something more important to him than anything else. And that was the precepts of the Word of God. He had a passion for God's will in his life, for God's way. I'm not going to say much about that. I'll hit that again in a minute. But then in verse 175, he said, let my soul live. His soul, the very breath. He didn't want to die. He especially didn't want to die, and me and the preacher talked a little bit about this, and I'm not going to elaborate on it much, but the fact is, he said, I have gone astray. And whether or not he was actually astray at this point in time in his life, or if he's dealing with some past instance, and in retrospect of helping us, but nonetheless, he said, let my soul live. He didn't want to die in the condition he was in. He wanted to be right. And he said, it shall praise thee. He wanted to continue to live to praise God. Is that our heart's desire today? Like the preacher said in the opening, I'm not going to be an idiot. I'm not going to go out and kill myself. Amen. But I want to live as long as God wants me to live, and I want to do what he wants me to do. Amen. And I want to try to bring honor and glory to his name instead of sin and reproach in my life and upon the name of Christ. Amen. Everything we do ought to be for the cause of Christ. For his name's sake. Amen. The expression of passion is found there. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. He said, let thy judgments help me. Verse 176, he said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He didn't forget them. He was remembering what the Word of God had to say. He was remembering what was right and what was wrong. His expression of passion, he wanted that again in his life. He said, seek thy servant. Come and get me, Lord. I don't like living where I'm at. I don't want to be out here where all the world and all the evil can, if you please, allure me or even attack me. I want to be with you. I want to say thirdly, his appetite is found in these requests. What he desired in his life, and I'll say this quickly. He said, number one, he said in verse 169, he said, give me understanding according to thy word. He wasn't asking for prosperity as far as materialistic gain. He wanted spiritual understanding, not worldly understanding, spiritual understanding. He wanted to know what God said in his word. He wanted to know what God wanted him to do in his life, and he wanted to make sure he abided by that. Give me understanding. Give me, Lord, understanding. That's what he desired. That's what his appetite was for. Notice in verse 117, he said, deliver me according to thy word. He desired deliverance. He had an appetite to be delivered from the oppression in his life. In other words, whatever struggle and persecution he was going through at that time, he desired to be set free from it for a period of time. Amen. That he might receive and have that rejoicing in the hope of God. I want to say thirdly, in verse number 173, he said, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. His appetite there was the precepts of God. That's what he wanted. I already made mention of that. Now I'll go on. He said in verse number 175, he said, excuse me, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. I see his appetite was for the Lord's help. Brethren, how much do we need the Lord's help? I can't boast in myself. I can't boast in what I can do. I mean, if I can do anything in reference to trying to serve the Lord and trying to live for God, it's because of what he has given me the ability to do. It's not in me myself. It's what he has shown me, truths in the Word of God. It's that, if you please, the Spirit of God that indwells me, that guides me and helps me to live like he tells me I ought to live. Amen. That appetite, he desired truth. He desired to live for God and to let those judgments help him. In verse 176, I see his appetite was for the commandments, to get back where God wanted him to be, to walk in those according to those commandments. He said, I hadn't forgot them. He knew what they were. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do in his life. He knew how he was to serve the Lord. He said, Lord, I ain't forgot those, but seek thy servant, in other words, that I may be able to fulfill those. And that was his appetite. Now, secondly, I see not only, and I'll hurry on these, I see not only the request that the psalmist made, but I see the rule that the psalmist had. What ruled or governed his life? Brethren, what is it that governs our life? Well, I want to show us three things here that ought to govern our life, and they all run hand in hand. Number one is the Word of God. You can find this in every one of these verses, and I'll not take time to deal with them all individually like I did on that first thought. But it's all, the rule of our life ought to be according to the Scriptures. Verse 169 and 170, the last phrase in each one, according to thy word. Not what David wanted, not what I want, not what you want, not what anybody else wants, but what God says. According to thy word. Amen. The word of God, that was his rule. Secondly, the will of God ought to be our rule. Now, a rule is something that you measure by. A rule is something that you live by. All right? So look at this. The will of God in every one of these verses, and I'll not take time to go through them all, but he's seeking after the word of God, the commandments of God, the law of God. Amen. Well, let me just make mention of them real quick. 169 and 170, according to thy word. 171, he said, thou hast taught me thy statutes. In 172, thy commandments are righteousness. 173, I have chosen thy precepts. 174, thy law is my delight. 175, thy judgments. Let thy judgments help me. 176, forget I have not forgotten thy commandments. Again, everything that ruled in David's life, as he's showing us here, that ought to rule in our life, is not only the Word of God in general, but we find the will of God in the Word of God, and that we ought to have that rule in our life. I want to do the will of God. If it takes me from here to there, if it makes me go from here to there, Amen. If it abases me, humbles me, if it moves me, my location, if it moves my point of service, whichever it may be, let me walk according to thy will. That ought to be the rule in our life. And then thirdly, the wisdom of God. Notice in 171, he said, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me. When thou hast taught me thy statutes. The wisdom, and wisdom only comes from the Lord, brethren. But when thou hast taught me. He's looking to the one who can teach him true wisdom. I want to say in 173, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Thy hand. It's the hand of God. That's demonstrating His power. His leadership. Isn't that what the Word of God said? That He took the children of Israel out of Egypt. He led them out by His right arm, by His right hand. His strong and mighty arm. And that's the same way He does for us, brethren. We ought to ask the Lord in His power, by His hand, to continue to lead us. Let it be our rule. The wisdom of God. He said in verse 175, He said, let thy judgments, not mine, not my decision, not my discernment, but yours, help me. And then He said in 176, I have gone astray. He lets us know right off the bat, I ain't got no wisdom. I ain't got much understanding. He said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. He said, the Lord. He wants the Lord to seek after him. That's wisdom, brethren. Amen. Amen. To ask the Lord to help us to seek the wisdom of God for the rule in our life. And these are somewhat of a repetitious thought going along quickly. The resolve. I see a great resolve in David's life in these eight verses. And this ought to be what we ought to have. And that's why I subtitled it, Let Me Be Faithful. We ought to be faithful. And even though times are going to come, we're going to fail, come short. Even though times are going to come, that there's going to have to be repentance. And there's going to have to be a restoration. Amen. Of us with the Lord. Even though hard times are going to come, a persecution. And we're going to get down and discouraged and want to give up and throw in the towel. The psalmist here has given us some great help in these verses. Notice, hear his resolve. In every one of these verses, I find resolve, number one, to prayer. Brethren, we can't make it without prayer. Plain and simple. Now, I've already dealt with that kind of detailed in the first point, his request. But I want to say the amount of praying that we do as well. You say, well, it don't matter how many times you pray it. Don't. Psalmist prayed eight times right here in these short eight verses. Amen. He tells us earlier on that evening and morning and noon will I pray. Daniel said he prayed three times a day. Amen. He tells us to ask. He tells us to seek. And he tells us to knock. Amen. And I'm not saying one prayer won't get the job done. I'm not saying 100 prayers will get the job done. But I'm saying you need to be faithful in prayer. I need to be faithful in prayer. However many times it takes, whether it take the once or whether it take 100 times a day, we ought to be faithful in prayer. Again, I'll elaborate on this fact of it. In the previous eight verses, we don't find him making a plea or request for something personally. But it's all about praising the Lord. But in these last eight verses, he makes up for it. He's constantly asking the Lord to do something for him that he needs done. Amen. And we'll have those times in our life that we can just praise God. Hallelujah. And have a good time in the things of the Lord. But there's going to be other times that we're going to be down and distressed and discouraged. And we're going to have to pray and ask God to keep us where we need to be. Ask God to help us to walk the way we need to walk. Amen. And stay faithful like we ought to stay faithful. The amount of prayer, that supplication. I see, secondly, his resolve for pliancy or surrender. He was willing to be bent or flexed. That's what that word of pliancy means. Or pliancy, not other pliancy. Pliancy. He was willing to be bent or flexed. You know what's wrong with us most of the time? We're stiff-necked. Amen. We're hard-headed. We're stubborn. I said we. I'm not throwing stones at you. Amen. We get it set in our mind, this is the way it ought to be, and we're not changing. Somebody else comes across with something that might be a better idea. We don't like it because it wasn't our idea. Amen. I'm talking about serving the Lord now. I'm not talking about just your personal doings, how you do at the house or whatever. I'm talking about in serving the Lord. Well, I think we ought to do this for our missionaries. Well, you didn't think of it, so then you're mad and you don't want to do it. Amen. I think we should have done this at the house of God. Then somebody else, they didn't think of it, so then they get mad. I mean, it goes on and on and on, brethren. We ought to be having some compliance in our life, be willing to be bent and surrendered unto whatever God wants. If God says, go to China, I want to be faithful. If God says, go to Africa, I want to be faithful. If God says, stay in Madisonville, I want to be faithful. If God says, go to Wisconsin, I want to be faithful. And Lord knows, I don't want to go where there's more snow than I am in height. Amen. But if He sends me, I'm talking about sends me, then that's what I'll have to do if I'm going to be compliant with the will of God in my life. We ought to have that kind of resolve, brethren. Lots of times, Brother Steve made this statement to me here a while back, something the Lord showed him. I forget now where it was at, Isaiah maybe. Isaiah or Jeremiah, he can tell you. But that we ought to only be willing and obedient. You know, God might not send you to a foreign mission field. God might not use you in the capacity that you think. If you fully surrendered your life, that He would use you in. But you're going to have to be willing to be surrendered for God to use you at all. Amen. Number three, his resolve was to praise the Lord. That pliancy was according to. It wasn't according to him, it was according to God, His Word. The praise unto the Lord, our shout, our adoration toward God. He said, my lips will praise thee. My soul will praise thee. In other words, that tells me there's an outward praise and an inward praise. Amen. I knew that'd go over real well. Fourthly, the proclamation. He had a resolve to proclaim God's Word. He said in verse number 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word. Amen. We're all guilty. And maybe it's got its place. I'm not saying anything like that. But we're all guilty of wanting to talk about the big bass. We're all guilty of wanting to talk about the big buck. We're all guilty of wanting to talk about firearms or whatever our subject is on our mind at the time. We're all guilty of that. But the psalmist said, my resolve is to speak the word. Amen. Like I said, they might have their time and place. But here, at the house of God, our hearts and our minds ought to be on the word of God. We come across sinners out there on the street, in a department store, at a restaurant. Our speech ought to be on the Word of God. Amen. He addressed his speech toward others concerning the Word of God. I want to say fifthly, his resolve was his principle. The principle to live by, again, that dealing with the rule somewhat, a standard. In verses 169 through all 176 there, he had a principle that he lived by. And it was all dealing with, to put it simply and generally, with the Word of God. The commandments, the statutes, the precepts, the law, all of it. That was his principle. And if we would have the Word of God as our principle, we continue to go forward and not back up. Then I want to say lastly, he had perseverance. Amen. He was resolved to persevere. Brethren, I don't know about you, but I don't want to quit. There's times I want to. There's times that I say, boy, it'd be a lot easier just to go on. Just to give it up. Quit fighting the battle. Hey, the battles are weary. The oppression is real. The enemies are fighting. There is a prince of this world hurling fiery darts at us.
Amen.
Amen. But we need to persevere. And the psalmist teaches us that here. Steadfastness. In verses 174 through 176, but I'll just deal with 176. He said, I have gone astray. That tells me the psalmist realized where his problem was. And that he was not where he ought to be. Maybe he got tired of the battles too. Maybe he was ready to give up, throw in the towel as well. But by the help of God and the hope that he had in God, he said, seek thy servant. In other words, you help me, Lord, and I'll persevere. You help me, Lord, I'll stay faithful. You help me, Lord, I want to do right. And I trust you do too, God.